Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Prep Talk podcast hosted by myself, Pete Flips, and Nick Spizak. Today, we welcome on Josh, a seven-figure Amazon seller that is frequently in your timeline with good information and is also running up crypto on the side. So I want to welcome on Josh. Thanks for coming on.
Guys, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So Josh, if I know anything about you, you kind of started in the OA space, maybe doing some different things now. Could you highlight kind of where you started and then talk a little bit about where you're at?
Yeah, 100%. So it all kind of started well before my Amazon days. I was a big kind of Gary Vee fan. So he had the big rants on go to yard sales, you know, flip stuff and make money. So I thought that was a good idea. At the time, you know, I was in college, didn't have a whole lot of time to put into, you know, a business. So went around finding different things, really kind of caught a knack for actually just finding values in these kind of random items, whether it's just looking up on eBay and all that kind of stuff. So, and I think the idea really hit home when I was sitting in a class in physical therapy. I'm a physical therapist now. And one of a coffee maker that I had picked up the night before, I bought it for like, I think it was like $100, and I ended up selling it for like $270. And I sat in class and I was like, I just made like $90. This is actually pretty sweet. And all my friends are like, are you kidding me? I was like, yeah. I was like, this is pretty sweet. So I think that was like the first idea that really kind of caught my attention for like the reselling space. So after that, me and Kaj, he's my business partner, we started private label in 2017. We started two products, one that didn't do very well, but was a good proof of concept. The other one actually did really well until too much competition came into the marketplace. And then in 2019, 2020, we switched to online arbitrage and we ran it up to about $1 million in revenue last year, between 600K in OA around and 400K in wholesale. And now this year we're gearing towards wholesale and more brand direct opportunities.
That's awesome. So there's something there that's in it. So like it kind of, it's almost seemed like it's going full circle, right? So you started out on private label, went away, went online arbitrage, your wholesale. Now you're starting to look into going brand direct. So what are some things from, you could call it, you know, a quote unquote failure in private label, but I don't know if that's the right term for it, right? Because those are all lessons that you have. What are some things from the private label days that you're now looking to incorporate into being, you know, a growth partner or another partner with brand direct that you can leverage?
Yeah. So something that we have done and actually ended up making a brand direct connection through this is reaching out to some of the businesses that were actually on like those hot OA listings and saying, hey, look, we see your website, you're pricing your product at, you know, $40 on Amazon, it's $30. This is what's happening if you aren't already aware. And they're like, yes, we're very aware that, you know, people are coming in, you know, running up all our coupons and ordering a lots of volume to be able to sell their places. And it was more like, this is what we can do for you. We could see about revamping the listing, try to stabilize price, add some features like doing multiple packs. Like this listing sells in very good in multiple packs and they didn't have one. It was only a single. And so over around 3 months, we finally kind of got them into what they call a transparency program, which is a program that Amazon uses to authenticate products, which allows us to really be the only sellers on that listing, which is pretty cool. And so now we're kind of just waiting for that last individual to run out of stock in order to kind of work on pricing as well as add different variations. So kind of running full circle back to your original question, really it's like optimizing listing and figuring out some sort of pain points that that brand is experiencing. Just like we experienced pain points back in our days of trying to create a product and ship it overseas to the US and sell on Amazon. Really just kind of working on those pain points that that company has and trying to offer, you know, good quality solutions.
So one thing that like kind of sticks out to me, and you kind of glossed over it, but like, you know, I think reframing kind of your experience in private label and saying, okay, maybe it failed, but like, can you speak like a little bit to like what that did for you from like a perspective standpoint in your current business, and then incorporating OA into that and how you're leveraging that experience now.
Yeah. So like, I think our first product, which I'll actually tell you what it was, because well, there's no way we're probably going to sell this ever again, but it was a pocket blanket, and we had bought this course from a guy, and it was like the classic, you know, pretty much tells you how to do everything. And we did it. And what we thought happened was everybody did the same thing. So everybody ended up ordering pocket blankets as their first product, because that was like one of like the best ones that came up first on the search. And it was like, it like checked all the boxes, all that kind of stuff. So what was nice about that product was when we got it in, it didn't sell at the price we wanted it to. So we were like, okay, what do we have to do to like increase the price, kind of updated the listing, all that sort of stuff. But we've had the little nuggets of, oh, it sold 10 times today. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, it sold, someone bought 24. Like, that's crazy. Like, this is actually even possible. And so I think that's kind of what started like the snowball of, all right, we're seeing that we're having really bad cash flow challenges. Is there another model on Amazon that doesn't create a lot of cash flow issues, or maybe shortens that cash flow timeline? And so we kind of arbitrage kind of fell into our lap with the, we listened to a lot of the Buy Box Bandits podcast. So yeah. And so that's when we kind of looked into arbitrage a little bit more while we were still kind of doing private label.
Awesome. Now let's tap into that for a second, right? So spent a lot of time last year on the OA side before, you know, starting to make more of that pivot to having a lot more of your portfolio in wholesale. What were some of those early pain points, especially for some of our listeners here that are in a very similar journey with that? What were some of those types of pain points that you guys had early on in the operation, and what did you do to alleviate that?
Yeah, so I think one thing would be just a lot of prepping. So prepping helps you make money, obviously, because you can send it into Amazon. But the more listings you can get through, the better. This is all just a numbers game. The more listings you can get through, the more profitable products you'll find. So you got to spend your time sourcing. So we alleviated that kind of through hiring a few friends. They helped us prep a lot of our stuff so we can keep our eyes on the screen trying to find new products. That was one pain point that we kind of worked on. Another one is we can get a lot of like order cancellations and a lot of stuff. And what was actually nice was having a business partner. It's like we have Kaj, who has an address, and then you have me, who has an address. So if someone starts canceling on my end, I'll just have Kaj order it instead to his house. And then we tried the whole kind of, you can run it through PayPal. Sometimes you can get through an order cancellation. If you want to, you can use a VPN. That's also another strategy that people have used, or an incognito tab. We've done that before. So those are all kind of ways that we kind of worked around those order cancellations. Let's see. I think cash flow is always going to be an issue. So understanding what credit cards is going to be good for you, understanding cash flow of the business. And we kind of created a model now that we use and that we teach to individuals to help understand how to not run out of money and really kind of get yourself in a pinch, because that can happen really easily, as crazy as it sounds. And it's happened multiple times with me and Kaj, and you know, you learn from those lessons and then you have to kind of fix them. So we ended up doing that. And so I think we're faring pretty well now that we kind of figured those things out.
Yeah, I think that like early days specifically, like understanding how much money you actually have can be challenging. So I think like what I always say is just be a little bit more conservative on the upfront and then let it snowball. And then over time you'll understand, but don't like get too crazy with your leveraging, especially early.
Gosh, yeah.
That's when you're going to amplify all your mistakes, right? Maybe like 6 months, a year, then, you know, turn on the jets, but
yeah,
you don't need to be taking on a ton of debt.
I get so scared when I see like those screenshots that people like put up, and it's like some kid will like post like 75 grand or like second month. And I'm like, oh man, like yeah. I hope that he's doing everything good. And you know, he's checking all his, or dotting all his I's and crossing all his T's. Cause let me tell you, that can, it can hit you real quick if you're not 100% doing things right.
100%. So you kind of present a unique, avenue in the Amazon space where you started a PL, and then we went into OA. So can you talk a little bit about how you're leveraging OA to maybe fund higher leverage endeavors.
Yeah. So, and again, I think this really all comes back to cash flow cycle. And for people who don't know, when you buy a private label product in China, especially, or in Asia, the first thing you're going to have to do is, you know, wait for them to manufacture it, wait for them to ship it. And yes, you can get some, you can pay half at first until they're done making it, and then you can pay the other half, but you still have to wait for it to ship all the way over seas to the US, and then it actually sells through Amazon's marketplace. And by that time, you actually need to order a whole nother, usually, order before you even, like, once, like, the first couple of days of sales ends up going and you know how much volume that you're going to actually do, you almost need to order it right away, the second batch, to actually stay in stock and be competitive with a lot of other individuals. So the cash flow there is just, it's horrendous. It's like almost impossible to pay yourself unless you're like on super high margins. So that's why we kind of turn to OA, where you can really, you know, buy something, it can get to your door within 3 or 4 days. You can package it up, send it to Amazon. It could get checked in a week or two, sometimes four if you're unlucky. and then that can go through, or you could just sell it right straight from your home, ship it right to the customer, and you can have funds, you know, within the next week and a half. So I think that's the main thing. It's just creating more cash flow so that if we want to do you know, a wholesale order that, let's say, it's back ordered for 3 weeks, but they're taking POs now, and whoever gets in now is going to get that PO, we can have the opportunity to ship that money where we think the value is, and kind of keep kind of recycling the cash flow, or the free cash flow that we have with online arbitrage.
So I want to switch gears a little bit here. We're kind of going through full circle almost. I think the only one that won't be in there is the retail arbitrage. I want to tap into the wholesale journey a little bit here. So you guys spent a lot of time, you went through the private label, you started going into OA. What was that journey like, moving from doing online arbitrage to starting to find your first suppliers and starting to, you know, think through like what does a wholesale based business look like?
Yeah. That's a really good question. And, you know, I think we're still trying to figure it out. However, I think we have the beginnings of a wholesale company. So we ended up finding our first, I would say, major supplier. Kaj ended up wanting to wholesale a pack of gum, an Orbit pack of gum. So he called Orbit and was like, hey, do you guys have any distributors in the area? This is where I'm located. And they were like, yeah, there's one half a mile down the road. Wasn't sure if he knew that. And we were both shocked. And we were like, are you serious? So, you know, watching enough KT Hustles, I was like, let's just go down there right now. And like, let's see what it's all about. So we're like, all right, let's go. So we run down there with Kaj's car. We pull up into this parking lot, massive complex. And we're passing all these like really nice cars. I'm like, geez. Like, I think we might be out of place here. It's like, because Kaj's door, like, he had like just gotten into like an accident like a week before, and his like left like door handle like not there. So we'd like pull up, and you know, we go to the front, and there we go to like open the door, but there's no handle, and we're like, oh no. It's like, geez, it's like we couldn't even make it in the front door. Like, this is kind of embarrassing. And someone like buzzes in, they're like, what are you doing here? And we're like, we just want to like see about, you know, buying product. We know you guys, we just want to set up like a wholesale relationship. She's like, well, you need an appointment. I was like, well, we don't have an appointment. And she's like, all right, let me go find somebody for you guys. So luckily this person named Sandy ended up entertaining us for, you know, 10 to 15 minutes. We kind of talked to her realistically where we were. We wanted to spend around, you know, 10 to 15K on some inventory. They had actually never sold to an Amazon seller before. So we were the first ones in the door there. And she's like, I don't know if we sell to Amazon sellers, but I can ask my boss. So we were like, all right. And we, a couple emails back and forth, and then we actually ended up landing that supplier, and we ended up spending a decent amount with that supplier last year. We don't anymore. We have kind of moved on from them. They were in like the food niche. So we wanted just some better margins there. But yeah, it was definitely a cool experience to understand what another individual or another company wants, instead of looking at, you know, yourself, looking at like, what kind of margin can I get out of this product? oh my gosh, like it returned, it got returned, all that kind of stuff. It's like trying to understand what they want and positioning yourself in alignment with them rather than I'm trying to get the best deal ever. Like I want, you know, this price, like, can you give me this price? Or, and trying to figure out what's good for them. Cause once you figure that out, it really opens up a relationship and things start moving a lot faster than you might think actually. So I think that would be the difference.
Josh, just to tap into that one a little bit more, right? So you went in, you started creating some relationships with distributors. You mentioned earlier that you guys are now looking to be more brand direct. Yeah, like is within the types of products that you're looking at, have you found any good angles or anything, whether that's looking at an existing distributor relationship that, you know, generally will have access to hundreds or thousands of different brands that you can say, hey, these are ones that we bought. Now it's a good angle to pivot that into brand direct. Have you used that as a strategy? Mm-hmm. What has been, as you're kind of going through that journey from now wholesale to now starting to think about brand partnerships, where have you seen that work? Or is there any type of angles you're using there?
I don't think we've actually used any distributors to start any brand kind of direct relationships quite yet. We're still working on that. Primarily, our goal is to find some interesting gap in like a market, whether it's a listing that seems to have a lot of issues in terms of like a ton of people on the listing, price is very variable. You go to their website and the price is a lot lower, or there's a different price. So you can kind of target those pain points. That's kind of what we're looking at right now, instead of, cause we're just not that, like we're big in wholesale, but we're not that big in wholesale quite yet to really have the opportunity to, kind of reach out to like a really big brand that has distributors and has all that, kind of a lot of money behind them, to be quite honest. And we just wouldn't have deep enough pockets to be able to provide them what they would probably want. However, it's definitely a good, you know, opportunity and a good thought. We just haven't kind of, I don't think we're quite there yet.
Okay. Well, yeah. And I bet you in like, the thing that you see often is that like in 2 to 3 years, like you probably will be. Like it's how quickly things can change. Like you see, you know, folks like Jonah, and he's like, he started in his like house and now he's doing massive numbers. So like in 2 to 3 years, maybe a totally different conversation, but you guys 100%. Are earning that, like that reputation within the wholesale space. And it'll be awesome to watch where you guys go. One thing that I feel throughout this is that you are taking your experience in OA and you're just applying it. And then you're just relieving all of these people of their problems. And I'm sure that wouldn't be as manageable without your business partner, Kaj, because you have that really good feedback loop. I see you guys and I'm like, you guys are just like two peas in a pod. Like, you know, it's really cool to watch. Can you talk a little bit about that relationship and then kind of what went into developing a business, you know, partnership, and what people should think about as they're considering doing that?
Yeah, 100%. And I think this is potentially one of the most important decisions you'll probably ever make. And I think a lot of people make that decision not knowing that it's one of the probably most important decisions you'll have to make, especially if you want to do business for a long period of time. So me and Kaj were both homeschooled. So it kind of starts there. I kind of start from the beginning. And so we developed a relationship pretty early, both into sports, both competitive individuals. And he was the first one that actually wanted to do business. And this was like in high school. And it actually ended up to be a pyramid scheme, which is actually hilarious. unknowingly at the time, we had no idea what that was, obviously, because we were in high school. But the products were great. And I would love to have them actually today. But unfortunately, yeah, that company did not fare too well with that. And I actually get like, a $10 check like every like 2 months. It's so weird. But it's like, I guess I had to like pay out or something and I had no idea. So now I'm just getting these random checks. But that's kind of how it started. And then we kind of really started to like, after that failed, I feel like there could have been like a lot of like pent up, like, you know, like, why did you drag me into this? Like, and like, but just, we knew like, we didn't know what was happening. And what was cool is while we were doing that, we ended up meeting a lot of like the higher ups. So a lot of people that were like above us, like by a lot. And so it was cool to see what their thoughts were about like how they went about doing business and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's really just opened our eyes to what the possibility was for business. And then I was the one who went on YouTube, because YouTube's like one of my favorite platforms to go on. And of course I stumbled upon, there was two people I stumbled upon. It was one guy selling Colgate toothpaste and the other guy was creating his own products. And I picked the creating your own products guy. And I don't know where I would have been if I would have picked the Colgate guy, but that's okay. And I think it just comes down to character. You have to know the person's character. You have to understand like what their motivation is, how they respond to different situations. Me and Kaja are practically the same person, just in two different bodies. We both don't like to show off crazy things. We don't really care about the cars. We don't care about the Rolexes. That's just not who we are. Just and perfect. We're more on like that. We'd rather build generational wealth where we can free up our time and do anything we want. And then once we get there, if we want to have some fun and do, you know, the cars and Rolex, we can. Yeah. So that's kind of both of our views on everything, which makes it so easy to make decisions. Again, like I haven't taken a single penny from our business yet, and it's been a long time, and I have full trust and confidence in Kaja and his ability to run things and manage everything in terms of our business, to where one day that will pay off. So I just wanted to keep the business going, and that's the goal so far. And I think the main point here is just comes down to character and who you want to be in a relationship with, pretty much, as a business partner.
And so, I mean, looking at like how you evaluated that decision, it took a long, like you knew Kaj for a very long time,
yeah,
before entering into business. And I think that that is a really good theme or important point to pull out. One other thing that I heard you talk about was, I haven't pulled anything from the business. Can you talk about what goes into that delayed gratification and maybe, you know, maybe what you're looking for to maybe then begin to pull?
Yeah, 100%. So I went to school as a physical therapist. I ended up graduating in 2020. So I've been practicing as a physical therapist for, I think, about almost 3 years now, or four, pretty close to four probably. And so, you know, they make a decent wage to the point where I don't really need to pull anything out quite yet. I live a very comfortable life. However, I think there will be a time where I will want to pull back hours and therefore I could dedicate more time to the business. And I think what we're trying to do is formulate a role for that, but we're just not quite there yet, because everything has changed so dramatically in the past two. Like, I feel like every year we pivoted. it was like eBay. It was like RA, Found Miles, OA. And then it was like wholesale. And now it's like this brand direct. So now we're trying to create stability within our ecosystem as best that we can in what we think is the best way, which is like a more wholesale brand direct way. And we're trying to just really kind of, again, improve on stability. And once that stability comes, I think I can start probably, you know, pulling hours out and starting to kind of take some more time for the business. But for right now, I just don't think, I don't want to risk the ability of the upside of the business for, you know, it just to pay a couple of my bills when I can kind of work through that myself.
100%. I really like that outlook. Cause I share a similar kind of path, is that like, we can be building this thing. It's more than a side hustle at this point.
Yeah.
But I don't need to tap into it because I've built skills in another venue that allow me to live while I continue to grow this thing. And then there's an exponential return on the back end. So I love that.
Yeah. I think that's huge. And I think it's fun to see the business grow too. I think that's one of the most, it's like one of the things I really love seeing over the years, just seeing like where we started and where we're at now and what connections and friends we made. I mean, it's been a great ride so far, and I know it's going to continue. So, honestly, at the end of the day, it's just betting on yourself. So it's like, there's no better bet that, you know, I feel like I could take. So yeah, I'm just excited to see what happens over the next few years.
Josh, how do you guys, so looking through like the, as a partnership, you guys both have similar personalities, talked a little bit about that. So within your strengths, how do you guys divide and conquer work? Like what's the breakdown? How do you guys use that as like, hey, this is the types of things I'm going to focus on. Here's the things that I'm really good at. So can you just kind of go through some of that part of the operation?
Yeah, I think it was really easy early on. And that was like from my eBay background to, you know, going into Marshall's after work and searching for product. I was like the sourcing guy. Like I knew a good deal. I knew where to find good deals. Like OA came very easy once I was able to figure out all the software and stuff. And then Kaja has a business degree. So kind of him setting up the back end, understanding, you know, cash flow, making sure credit card statements are paid off, making sure our balances look good. That was his role in the beginning. And now it's kind of blurred to the point where it's starting to get a little bit of a crossover where he does a lot of the majority of like wholesale brand direct. And then I'll be working in like the warehouse, like packing, prepping, all that sort of stuff on the back end. If we need it, we don't really do a lot of OA anymore. So I'm starting to kind of like try to figure out where I need to go in order to bring the greatest value. And I think we're working on it. But it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next quite year, a couple, like probably months or so, because we haven't quite figured it out yet.
Well, one thing that I thought was interesting about that is that if you spend enough time with somebody that has like the opposite skill set, it starts to blur.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that some of the other guys are like wizard sorcerers, and then you just see how they think for long enough, and then you start to pick up on it and you can leverage that. So it's kind of cool to see that. And it may seem like a problem, but you've actually like created efficiencies where you guys have been in the same group for long enough that we freed up time.
It's a
thing. So that is really cool to kind of see where that goes over the next, you know, however long.
Yeah. We have like a couple of VAs too. And that's, I think that's where it really started, because it's like hiring VAs really freed up Kaj's time to be able to do like those like really important tasks that actually move the needle forward, and rather than just kind of keep the business, you know, afloat and not have any issues with, you know, all the complaints that come in and like inauthentics and trying to keep all that busy work that you have in the background. Mm-hmm. We had VAs do that. And that was the craziest shift that I saw in our business. Once we hired a main VA, or what we call an admin VA, our whole business completely took like a 180. It was kind of crazy. Like so much time was freed up to where the point where like me and Kaj were looking at each other, trying to figure out like what can we do? So it was kind of cool.
Yeah. That's like a hard shift, I think. And I mean, I struggled with it, was like, I don't need to be in the details of every order that has a problem. Like just trusting the people and creating those SOPs. It's a beautiful thing. Like you can just go focus on so many higher leverage opportunities, and you can help somebody else that's learning the Amazon platform at the same time and growing their skill set, instilling confidence in them. I love that. That's huge.
Yeah.
Josh, can you talk a little bit about time management? I know a good decent amount of the viewers, right? We either came from having a 9-to-5 full-time job or still do. So how has that balance been? Are you using the VA team to kind of supplement that? Just kind of talk through like, what are some of the areas that you have that are going on in your life that attribute into being able to have good time management?
Wow. I mean, that's a loaded question, especially, especially for me. And this kind of goes back to the early days of OA. I remember just like being in the warehouse, and one of my good friends actually moved down the street. And they came over one night and they were like, dude, do you ever do anything but work? And I actually like thought for a second, I was like, you know, I don't. I was like, maybe I should probably back off a little bit here. And so I think that was like the first time that I thought, because I was just trying to keep the business afloat. We were doing good. Like I was excited, like wanted to continue this going. But there were things that I could tell that were lacking in terms of like, I wasn't getting enough sleep. I wasn't eating right and being able to like exercise regularly, which was definitely taking a toll on my health. So I definitely that kind of changed a lot of things for me to be able to kind of work through some sort of like a time management kind of understanding, like, hey, like this can't go on forever or else I'm going to be more miserable than I was at, you know, when I started this thing, you know? So I definitely, that definitely helped me kind of kick me in the right direction. And, you know, as of right now, time management, there's nothing I really do on a regular basis that kind of helps me with my time management. But like, I understand, like when I have free days, there are going to be days where I'm going to be needed. And a good example was like this Memorial Day. Like I think we had like 30 FBMs and it's like, all right, well, Monday is going to be that day where I'm just going to knock those out so we can get those out Tuesday. And it's just like, I had off Saturday, I had off Sunday. And it's just like, I definitely needed to do something for the business. So right now I feel like I'm in a very good place in terms of getting more time management down, as well as kind of looking to see if I can unburden Kaja as well.
Awesome. So a couple of things before we wrap, we do have some crypto interest. So do you want to like talk a little bit about how that plays into all the things that you're doing?
Yeah, for sure. Facts. I've been talking about that for years.
So like, what is the interest point there? Like, where do you see that? Just general curiosity at this point.
Yeah. So it all started, and it's so funny because it all started in this stupid pyramid scheme, which is hilarious. it's literally where it starts, which is crazy. And they were like, they kept shilling us being like, dude, this Bitcoin thing is kind of crazy. Like, this is what we're seeing. And me and Kaja, and I was too young at the time to understand like how to buy it. And, you know, Kaja was in the right spot at the right time with, you know, enough cash. And I know he ended up buying some and I know it's going to probably change his life. And I went through college and I'm trying to think of the cycles. I think this is going to be like my third, you know, like main cycle. The first cycle, I kind of just decided to throw all my money at like, it was called BitConnect back in the day. It was like one of like the biggest things. It was like everybody was buying it and, you know, it happened again. I guess I just get suckered into scams. So I lost like 1K that cycle and I was like, all right, well, that was stupid. And then I watched the price just absolutely tank. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I was like, that's very, not exactly what I thought would happen. And then I saw, and I just paid attention to it really at the end of the day. And then I saw it start to come back. I bought a fair amount and then we had another big run up and then we had another big dump and I did the same thing again, just watched it. And I think this, if there's anything I'm really excited for besides my Amazon business, it's crypto. With everything that's coming out, like the Bitcoin ETF, Ethereum ETF kind of got approved now. I mean, two major changes. This election's becoming very crypto related, which is also very interesting, which is just brings awareness. Overall, very excited for crypto to see what it does over this next cycle and potentially more if there will be more. I am a crypto lover, I would say, through and through, for sure.
Awesome. Well, I'm not super well versed in crypto, so I don't know if I have any follow up to it. But anything that you want to leave the audience with, maybe something that's not gotten enough attention, anything that's, you know, crossed your mind recently, or any value that you wanted to leave the audience with before we wrap?
Yeah, for sure. I think everybody's always trying to figure out, is something too saturated to the point? Is it even worth starting anymore? And you know, as we come into this Amazon space where we have all this great ability to create wealth through all these different products, we do have, you know, other things like Section 3s and other inauthentic complaints that Amazon is cracking down on too. And, you know, it's you have kind of like these two looming aspects. It's like get rich or like get screwed kind of thing, or it's like get failed. And I would just say, like, especially somebody who is like earlier on, like 18, 19, 20, maybe in their early 20s, just fail in the beginning. Just do it. Like, get it out of the way. Like, it's way easier when you get on the other side of a failure. Like, I failed, I think, 4 times now already. And it's just like you learn stuff along the way, you build relationships. And it's just, You have to be able to fail to succeed. No one's going to succeed their first time. And I think everybody's so scared of it. And it's not like you have to go and spend, you know, 20 grand to get rich. I mean, it's like you have to set a goal for yourself. Don't shoot for the moon. I mean, I remember when I was in Goodwill and I was just scanning books and I found 10 books. All of them were like $80. And I walked out of Goodwill with $20 of books and I sold on Amazon for like 800. That was probably one of the greatest days of my life. Like those are the things you're going to find along the way. And it's like, you just got to just continue to work through it in a network as best you can. Find friends in the space, find one of your best friends that you trust with everything you got and just kind of go for the moon because you only live once. And so you might as well start now. I think everybody's just sitting back and I'll do it next week. I'll do it this week or I'll do it next year. It's like, dude, you just got to start now.
100%. Like that $800, you know, find at Goodwill could be a lot more in 12 months time. Don't underestimate yourself, family. Like,
yeah,
you really can compound.
Yeah.
100%. But where can people find you at?
Oh yeah, for sure. Basically just, you can find me on X. It's just Joshua_lastname right on the screen there. I use that handle for everything. So you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on TikTok as well. It's where me and Pete have been hanging out recently in the comment section and in the like section of each other's videos. If you want to hang out with us, you can. Yeah. Yeah, that's where people can find me. And I'm always down to answer any questions. It was actually funny. I told myself I was going to go on if like someone chatted me on TikTok. I like started TikTok like, I don't know, a couple months ago, probably. But like the first guy who like chats me on something, like I'm going to go on a call and I'm going to give him so much value. And I literally got that one person like a week and a half ago. And it was like pretty cool. Awesome. So it was one of the coolest experiences ever. So it was definitely fun. So definitely, you know, feel free to hit me up. I'm down to answer any questions you guys have or anything like that.
Awesome. Yeah. Josh is the only guy that likes my TikToks minus Nick. So, but it's funny how things work. I was just like, he's been showing love. So let's get him on the podcast. I've seen him around. So, but thank you for coming on. Great interview. And to the audience, we will see you next time.